the allegory of man lying with man, as an example of the foregoing. If the key of knowledge is properly applied to one's interpretation and understanding of the scriptures, then you must recognize that what is portrayed in the allegorical symbolism in the prohibition of a man lying with another man has much more to do with the failure of the linear, male, spheres of mind to join with their intuitive, female, opposite half, than it does to the traditional outward portrayal in which most religious groups interpret this prohibition in Leviticus, that is, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Lev 20:13. Without its opposite half, which is an opposite polarity, the male, linear and slash, or the female, intuitive of the outer columns of the tree of duality, is very much dead, and the blood portrayed in the foregoing verse, which equates to the spirit and vital life force, cannot arise and imbue with life, and will thus be upon them in their death. This same spiritual meaning would also be true in the allegorical case of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The message of Jesus in the Gospel states that he that is whole need not a physician, Matt 9:12. Wholeness requires the divided male, linear, and female, intuitive thoughts and impressions generated within the mind of the seeker to be joined and made whole, that is, one flesh, so that the third force balance or offspring can then be raised up to the next level or plane, eventually enabling every thought or impression to be obedient and reunited to Christ. Where in Genesis mankind is told to become fruitful and multiply, from an allegorical perspective this commandment was made with respect to the expansion and deepening of mind that is necessary to bring about the next stage of birth. In the subheading, Man as a Cosmic Ovum and Sperm, I demonstrate that in accord with the holographic divine pattern of creation, man and woman enter this world as a cosmic ovum and sperm with the objective of evolving the third force offspring of the union onto a higher plane within the morphic field of the marriage. Morphic fields see gender blindness and the process of birth. And it is this merger of male/female opposites that is necessary to enter the heavenly kingdom, that is. Gospel of Thomas saying 22, see saying 22. They said to him, Shall we then, as children, enter the kingdom? Jesus said to them, When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom. And from this perspective, if you were to take a bottle of sperm from any number of men, or a bottle of eggs/ovum, from any number of women, absolutely no union or growth can be brought about with neither the sperm or ovum being able to become one flesh. In like manner, if you were to wire a home same sex, that is, in the electrical outlets you wire them positive to positive or negative to negative, you would no longer be able to power your appliances. The whole of our power grid and the basis of our technology is all based upon the interaction of positive and negative opposites, which holographically equate to the interaction of male and female, as is the very atomic structure of all matter and energy. In like manner, computer code is composed using 1s and 0s, that is, positive and negative, and without the opposite polarities in the code, no computer program could be written. The divine pattern is holographically replicated throughout all of creation, controlled by the interaction of male/female, positive/negative forces and realities of consciousness, mind, and being. Thus, in understanding this reality, the question must be posed as to why, then, does the Bible condemn and reject homosexuality, if what is being presented must be understood allegorically? This answer is very simple once understood. The scriptures were written for seekers, and in this case a seeker can be rightly portrayed as a person attempting to bring forth an offspring, or child. If, then, you went to a fertility specialist for assistance in procuring an offspring, and that fertility specialist advised you that it did not matter with whom you had sexual intercourse, that if you were a man, you could have sex with other men, and if you were a woman, you could have sex with other women, and it really didn't matter with whom you had sex, then this supposed fertility specialist would be deemed incompetent. In the Gospel of the Nazarenes, this important teaching, which I will greatly expand upon in the below, has been preserved. My work is to teach and to heal the children of men, And he that is born of God keeps his seed within him. The generative power is in the seed of a man, and there is only two ways to preserve this generative power that is necessary to bring about the expansion and deepening of mind of the seeker, and that is either through celibacy, or within what can be portrayed as a divine marriage where the man and woman live the necessary mindset and lifestyle to become one flesh. Again, it is imperative to comprehend that from a holographic perspective, physical conception and pregnancy is a byproduct of the sexual relationship and interaction between a man and woman, and the higher spiritual purpose and reality of the sacrament of sex with respect to bringing forth the third force morphic field has the potential to take place with every sexual exchange and interaction between a husband and wife in a divine marriage. In the biblical allegory of Onan, Gen 38:9, his casting of his seed upon the ground rather than impregnating his brother's wife brought him death, and this can in like manner portray the prodigal son who squandered away his inheritance on riotous living. While within a divine marriage the generative power in man is properly exchanged with his wife and channeled into the morphic field that brings about the union of one flesh, from a spiritual perspective of reality, all other forms of expelling this generative power must be understood as various forms of mutual masturbation. And this fact of human reality is further explored in the blog article entitled Reply, Melbourne Mum Infuriated by Church's Sex Advice in School, and also the article entitled Why Are Some People Born Homosexual? Why is homosexuality rejected in the Bible? Wherein I correctly portray same-sex relationships as mutual masturbation, which fails to engage and properly bring about the interaction of opposites, representing either a loss of generative power in the case of two men, or an absence of generative power in the case of two women, and is a practice that a sincere spiritual seeker does not want to engage in. That procreation is a byproduct of the sexual union of man and woman, and in every sexual exchange in a divine marriage, a third force balance / offspring of mind and spirit is sustained. Is the reality of spiritual fertility and spiritual procreation that is not at all understood today. From an allegorical Genesis perspective, in the same way that man and woman can be physically fruitful and have many physical offspring, when the holographic reality is understood, so too is the expansion of mind brought about in the same way within the pattern of the tree of life. In accord with the holographic divine pattern, the same would be true with respect to thoughts and impressions attempting to arise through the male/female spheres of the tree of duality, which are represented in the outer columns of the tree of life. Without the joining of the opposites, male/female, becoming one flesh, it will remain impossible for the third force offspring to mature and arise to the next elevated plane. And the same is true with respect to two men or two women producing physical offspring, as it is in the case of linear male thoughts and impressions failing to unite and become one with their intuitive female opposite half, thereby enabling the joined married thoughts and impressions to arise through the center tree of life and return to the source in the heavenly kingdom at the top of the tree of life. Spiritual marriage vis the civil unions of man on the issue of same-sex union and what can be portrayed as the nature marriages that fail to evolve because they lack the spiritual attributes of a divine marriage ordained by God. The following blog article should address the issues. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. Can man redefine spiritual sacraments ordained by God? And when the court crosses over the line of separation of church and state and attempts to redefine a spiritual sacrament and using secular authority to impose their will upon the congregation of believers, is this not a modern example of where Peter stated? But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Acts 5:29. For those who believe that marriage is a spiritual sacrament and covenant that can't be redefined by man, the recent ruling of the Supreme Court has tested the faithfulness to your beliefs. If it is true that marriage is a spiritual sacrament and covenant between God, a man, and his wife, then the government has betrayed your trust. In the words of Jesus, "But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and join to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh." What therefore God has joined together, let no one separate. Mark 10, 6-9. A marriage, therefore, is that sacrament and holy consecrated union that make the man and woman one flesh. And that few Christians today even understand the spiritual potential of marriage is explored in the article The Divine Role of Woman. Throughout my writings on the sacrament of the divine marriage, I have long maintained that neither a secular or religious authority has the power to institute a genuine marriage that is ordained by God, that marriages are determined by the content and faithfulness of the heart and mind, without which no real marriage can be instituted. Further, not only does the sacrament of marriage have requirements to be entered into, but must be maintained in accord with spiritual standards. In view of the fact that the court has moved to redefine the sacrament of marriage, what they have accomplished is nothing more than state-licensed cohabitation and sex. And this does not in any manner constitute a marriage in the eyes of God. We have all seen the videos where both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have pledged their belief in marriage as a sacred union between one man and one woman. It has been asserted that in the case of Barack Obama, he lied to get elected, and in the words of the late William Safire, Hillary Clinton is a congenital liar. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. Clinton will be shocked when it is revealed to her when she passes from this life that her and Bill Clinton are not even married in the eyes of God. As a sacred covenant, if the terms of that covenant are not maintained in purity of thought and body, then the covenant itself is nullified and void. From the perspective that secular authority, which does not even possess the power to institute a true marriage, and has moved to redefine a spiritual sacrament that they have no business of setting the terms and conditions of, the people of the states should immediately move to negate the power of secular authority to institute what they cannot institute, and thereby enacting the necessary laws and statutes to deny secular authority the right to use the term marriage, replacing it instead with the term civil union. The terms of marriage must be taken away from civil authorities and returned solely to the domain of religion. Therefore, all such unions ordained by the state and secular authorities must be labeled civil unions, with all secular authorities banned from even using the term marriage. All people should have equal constitutional rights and protections, and therefore, if a same-sex couple desire to enter into a legal union ordained by the state, this union should properly be named a civil union. Same-sex couples are just the beginning, and this will in the future again be redefined to cover polygamy, polyandry, and eventually the union of beast and man. In Islam, a man can have and are encouraged to have as many as 4 wives, plus concubines. And it is only a matter of time before the court moves to affirm the right of the Muslim to practice their religion. Therefore, in view of the fact that the authorities of the state do not have the spiritual power to make the two, man and woman, one flesh, they must be denied the use of that word, which means that all state-sanctified unions would be defined as civil unions. If the prospective partners are members of a religious group that promotes the sanctity and fidelity of entering into the sacrament and covenant of marriage, then it would be within the domain of the religious group to issue a marriage certificate. See previous articles on marriage at link. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. In view of the fact that the Constitution requires separation of church and state, and the state does not have the power to either redefine or initiate the spiritual sacrament of marriage, the people must themselves move to deny the authorities of the state even the use of the term marriage, replacing it with the more proper term, civil union. The scriptures are allegorical, and when the spiritual meaning of the Genesis account of creation is understood, what is revealed is the forces and laws of consciousness that is operating within the mind of mankind. In the article on the tree of life and the divine marriage, it is demonstrated that the fruit of the tree of duality, aka tree of good and evil, is the divided thoughts and impressions of man and woman, and the need to merge the male and female impressions in a higher morphic field, which creates a spiritual atmosphere and environment for the mind and being to evolve and spiritually mature, is presented to the seeker in the Gospel of Thomas, saying, "They said to him, shall we then, as children, enter the kingdom?" Jesus said to them, "When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, And when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom. Unless this teaching that was removed from the Gospels used by Christians today is fulfilled with respect to the eating of the fruit of the tree of life through the merging of the male and female columns of the tree of duality within the seeker, then it will remain impossible to gain entrance into the inner kingdom. And those people who reject same-sex unions innately know this to be true. From the perspective of a civil union, people have the absolute right to enter into any union of their choosing, and no one has the right to force them to do differently. Ultimately, our Constitution provides each man and woman the right to live in accord with any philosophy or mindset of their choosing to the degree that they have the right to squander away their opportunity of life. Sex and sexual expression is not a sin, so long as it is not coerced or forced upon another individual. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage, civil union versus marriage, but when used properly within the construct and environment of the tree of life and the divine marriage, sexual interaction between the opposite polarities of male and female is the catalyst that initiates higher development of mind and being on the narrow way of enlightenment and anointing. And no secular authority has the power to initiate and ordain a true spiritual marriage. Secular authorities are limited to licensing sex and cohabitation only, and because of this fact, the unions they license should be rightly limited to civil unions. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage, civil union versus marriage? We must then pose the question, while male and female unions are as common as man and woman, the question must be asked, why don't these unions initiate the next stage of birth which the mystics make reference to? The answer is very simple, because the union must not be limited to the physical, but rather, the dynamic interaction of mind and spirit in a state of absolute harmony that is able to raise the two up to a higher level of being. Thus, together they must seek to know self, that is, their true self, while seeking truth and the inner kingdom. Because of self-ignorance, the vast majority of marriages between a man and woman are limited to the physical, the emotional, and the forming of a family. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. As stated in the above, a divinely ordained spiritual marriage has requirements that must be met and maintained. And if these requirements are not maintained, then no spiritually ordained marriage can exist. The scriptures were composed by mystics to be used by other sincere seekers who can be portrayed as the prodigal sons and daughters who have come to their senses and desire to return to the Edenic kingdom of origination. And this is why the higher law as personified in the scriptures is designed and enacted only for the most spiritual, while the rest of mankind is held to a set of lesser laws and requirements. This fact of different requirements, which modern Christians can't at all understand, is presented in the words, that servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Luke 12:47-48 NIV. Thus, the person of this world, who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows, because he is the prodigal son who remains lost and under the control of what is portrayed as the citizen of the far country. On the other hand, those who have begun to come to Christ and fail to live in accord with the teachings and requirements set forth in the gospel will receive the greater judgment and condemnation that is. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. The law, as set forth in the Torah, was never intended to be applied to common man who was not a spiritual seeker and disciple of the way. And because a person cannot have two masters, and he cannot be true to the thinking and lifestyle of this world while still being a sincere seeker, The vast majority of the Gentiles very quickly corrupted the Gospels that were given to them, creating dogmatic dispensations as to why it was not necessary for them to live in accord with the Gospel teachings and requirements. But to the degree that each person was able to receive the spiritual teachings of the Gospel, imposed upon them greatly different requirements. Thus, Paul condemned those who believed that they could come to Christ and continue to sin, as seen in the statement that, "For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who then commit apostasy, since they crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold him up to contempt. For if we sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment, and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries." Heb 6:4-6, 10:26-27 RSV. In like manner, a large segment of the early Gentile church very quickly defiled the original gospel sacraments, see sacraments, and brought judgment upon themselves. With the annexation of the church by the Roman Emperor Constantine in the 4th century, the church was cast into a spiritual abyss of abject ignorance from which it has yet to emerge. And because of the church's self-imposed exile in a spiritual diaspora, they are no longer able to be nourished by the fruit of the tree of life and therefore remain as lost prodigal sons who dwell under the power and control of the citizen of the far country. See also, why is sexual immorality condemned? Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. Invoking grace in response to sexual immorality, Kabbalah and the 10-sphere tree of life. The inherent problem, traditional Jewish/Kabbalistic tree of life in the traditional style of an ancient mystery religion. Judaism does not present high-level spiritual truths to those outside of their system. Why do they conceal important truths from those outside of the group? As documented at organic man ruled over by his lower animal nature, it is impossible for organic natural man that Paul portrays as being of an animal soul level of consciousness to comprehend man's higher soul and spiritual natures. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. On the right is the traditional 10-sphere Jewish/Kabbalistic tree of life, and on the left is the same Kabbalistic tree of life with an added 11th sphere, which they call dot, but the 10 and 11th sphere pattern of the Jewish tree, when rightly understood, is from the perspective of the holographic divine pattern fatally flawed. The lines connecting the spheres are the laws as represented in the Hebrew alphabet, but because this version of the tree, which is published to those outside of the core students of Kabbalah, is lacking the 12th sphere, it cannot present a picture and image of wholeness. From a gospel perspective, this withholding of important truths can be portrayed as not giving to dogs what is holy, or casting pearls before swine. The elementary Kabbalah, in the transition phase of the seeker, it is important for a teacher/guide/rabbi to reveal a certain level of esoteric knowledge to the disciple who can benefit from this knowledge. And thus, to this level of seeker, the ancient mystics revealed a 10-sphere tree of life which is used throughout Kabbalah today. And those familiar with Kabbalah are aware that there is sometimes an 11th sphere added named Doth, but the limitations of the carnal Jewish mindset can be seen in the many theories set forth as to why Doth cannot even be counted as a sphere of the tree. In the book of Revelation is the statement which confirmed the higher reality that the tree of life has 12 spheres. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, Rev 22:2 NKJ, and in researching my own past lives where I was immersed in the inner core of Jewish mysticism, I saw that the knowledge of the 11th and 12th sphere was reserved only for the most evolved initiates into the system. And in the allegory of the children born from the wives of Jacob who came to be called Israel, the last two spheres can be portrayed as the only offspring of Jacob's wife Rachel. While the 11th sphere is spiritual knowledge or gnosis, and as the 11th can be portrayed as the generative power of the kingdom, the 12th sphere, which is portrayed as intellect, is not intellect in the measure of IQ, but rather, the application of knowledge in a person's actions and deeds. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. When what the 11th and 12th spheres represent is understood, The Jewish mystics are correct in not revealing this knowledge to those who cannot receive it. The 11th and 12th spheres, being represented by the sons of Rachel, are spiritual and therefore are beyond the comprehension of physical man who is yet of an animal soul level of consciousness. The first 10 sons were born of Leah and the handmaidens of Leah and Rachel. Thus, with respect to the tree of life, they represent incompletion. Therefore, Jewish mystics only revealed an understanding of the additional 2 spheres of the tree of life, as well as the crucial flow of vital life force and bioenergy to those students of Kabbalah who had advanced to the degree that they were able to comprehend the inward application of the tree of life as the pattern of their own mind. While it is one thing to possess a degree of knowledge, it is quite another thing to use and apply that knowledge in one's life in the proper way. And in many respects, the movement of bioenergy or vital life force, the inheritance of the prodigal son, can be seen as the gift upon the altar of the final temple which we recently discussed. And the enlightened mystic understands that it is impossible for this gift / energy to flow directly from Bina / understanding / male, or from Chokhmah / wisdom / female, except through one's actions / intellect sphere. And even then, there must also be the gnosis / knowledge connection through doth / knowledge. The vital life force that is the inheritance of the prodigal son that was squandered away on riotous living and things of no substance is the bioenergy that must be channeled within the mind of the seeker / disciple to bring about the expansion and deepening of mind and consciousness beyond organic, carnal, levels of developed awareness. In order to be properly utilized, the bioenergy must be returned to the upper heavenly kingdom within the seeker, which sphere of mind Jewish mysticism calls Kether. Those who Paul portrays as being of a natural, organic, animal soul level of consciousness, see organic man ruled over by his lower animal nature, can't utilize this energy, so it is lost out into nature. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. Those people who fail to advance beyond the organic, natural mindset cannot tap into the knowledge or gnosis acquired through the 11th sphere, and because of the disconnect between the male/female outer columns, neither can the bioenergy be brought into the 12th sphere, causing it to be lost into nature instead of being returned to the upper kingdom/Kether sphere. And it is this loss of vital life force into nature that is portrayed as the prodigal son squandering away his inheritance on riotous living. In view of the fact that Bina/understanding and Chokhmah/wisdom is the outer columns of the tree of duality, Aka tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is also representative of the division of male/female, the Jewish way of drawing the paths of the 10-sphere tree of life is virtually impossible, because the required oneness of duality between the left and right outer columns, tree of duality, has not been brought about as presented in the Gospel of Thomas. When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male nor the female female. Which means that the 10-sphere tree of life with the energy paths connecting Bina and Chokhmah with Kether is fatally flawed. But from the perspective of the inner core of Jewish mystics, a disciple/initiate was not prepared to move on until they came to the realization that you can't return/access Kether while in the divided state of the tree of duality, and that the death which was pronounced from eating the fruit of the tree of duality was because of the loss of vital life force into nature, instead of the return of the energy within oneself to the source. Only when the Jewish Kabbalah initiate arrived at the point where this understanding began to come to them, were they ready to receive the higher esoteric knowledge that was never given into the hands of those outside of the core group. It is interesting that one internet source that portrays itself as the school of spiritual integrity, on a page entitled What is Doth? Not only embodies the theories as to why Doth can't be counted as a sphere of the tree of life, but repeats one of the typical Jewish errors of applying both the tree of life and the scriptures externally, that is, quoting, to describe the universe in terms of flow and form, ascending/descending tree. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. And thus, we observe them throwing away the key of knowledge in their external and historical interpretations. Let's take the above portrayal of Jewish Kabbalah one step further. Because the Jews generally interpret the scriptures outwardly, that is, throwing away the key of knowledge, interpreting the tree of life cosmically, they portray the top sphere, Kether, as God, which in their externalization would be synonymous with saying that one of the 12 tribes of Israel was God, or from a gospel perspective, one of the disciples of Yeshua/Jesus was God. But Judaism has always had a problem with the concept that the kingdom is within us. In the image of the 12-sphere tree of life, what we have is four primary trinities, as well as a number of sub-trinities. And to see this, you must understand the intellect sphere as being the physical body itself, which all the other spheres must work through, because the physical body encompasses all the other spheres. Which means that the uppermost sphere, Kether/heavenly kingdom, is the paired opposite of the bottommost sphere or earthly kingdom, and a third force balance is the intellect sphere. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. The elementary Kabbalah, in the transition phase of the seeker, it is important for a teacher/guide/rabbi to reveal a certain level of esoteric knowledge to the disciple who can benefit from this knowledge. And thus, to this level of seeker, the ancient mystics revealed a 10-sphere tree of life, which is used throughout Kabbalah today. And those familiar with Kabbalah are aware that there is sometimes an 11th sphere added named Doth, but the limitations of the carnal Jewish mindset can be seen in the many theories set forth as to why Doth cannot even be counted as a sphere of the tree. In the book of Revelation is the statement which confirmed the higher reality that the tree of life has 12 spheres. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, Rev 22:2 NKJ, and in researching my own past lives where I was immersed in the inner core of Jewish mysticism, I saw that the knowledge of the 11th and 12th sphere was reserved only for the most evolved initiates into the system. And in the allegory of the children born from the wives of Jacob who came to be called Israel, the last two spheres can be portrayed as the only offspring of Jacob's wife Rachel. While the 11th sphere is spiritual knowledge or gnosis, and as the 11th can be portrayed as the generative power of the kingdom, the 12th sphere, which is portrayed as intellect, is not intellect in the measure of IQ, but rather the application of knowledge in a person's actions and deeds. When what the 11th and 12th spheres represent is understood, the Jewish mystics are correct in not revealing this knowledge to those who cannot receive it. The 11th and 12th spheres, being represented by the sons of Rachel, are spiritual and therefore are beyond the comprehension of physical man who is yet of an animal soul level of consciousness. The first 10 sons were born of Leah and the handmaidens of Leah and Rachel. Thus, with respect to the tree of life, they represent incompletion. Therefore, Jewish mystics only revealed an understanding of the additional two spheres of the tree of life, as well as the crucial flow of vital life force and bioenergy to those students of Kabbalah who had advanced to the degree that they were able to comprehend the inward application of the tree of life as the pattern of their own mind. Should Christians embrace genuine spiritual marriage? Civil union versus marriage. While it is one thing to possess a degree of knowledge, it is quite another thing to use and apply that knowledge in one's life in the proper way. And in many respects, the movement of bioenergy or vital life force, the inheritance of the prodigal son, can be seen as the gift upon the altar of the final temple which we recently discussed. And the enlightened mystic understands that it is impossible for this gift/energy to flow directly from Bina/understanding/male, or from Chokmah/wisdom/female, except through one's actions/intellect sphere. And even then, there must also be the gnosis/knowledge connection through doth/knowledge. The vital life force that is the inheritance of the prodigal son that was squandered away on riotous living and things of no substance is the bioenergy that must be channeled within the mind of the seeker/disciple to bring about the expansion and deepening of mind and consciousness beyond organic, carnal, levels of developed awareness. In order to be properly utilized, the bioenergy must be returned to the upper heavenly kingdom within the seeker, which sphere of mind Jewish mysticism calls Kether. Those who Paul portrays as being of a natural, organic, animal soul level of consciousness See, organic man ruled over by his lower animal nature can't utilize this energy, so it is lost out into nature. Those people who fail to advance beyond the organic natural mindset cannot tap into the knowledge or gnosis acquired through the 11th sphere, and because of the disconnect between the male/female outer columns, neither can the bioenergy be brought into the 12th sphere, causing it to be lost into nature instead of being returned to the upper kingdom/Kether sphere. And it is this loss of vital life force into nature that is portrayed as the prodigal son squandering away his inheritance on riotous living.